Good morning to everyone. You may be asking why I left the background the way I did for this morning. I'm not sure you're asking. You probably think I'm lazy and I didn't change it. But actually, there's a thought behind it. This morning, wanted to start a new series this year that I believe Bruce alluded to at the last time we were together. And that is, with the greatest respect to the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av, why should I miss the Beis HaMikdash? I didn't live there. I don't know what it was. I read a lot about it. But the bottom line is, why do I, today, in the year 2020, have to go ahead and act as if I am the one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? And I wanted to devote this year to that question. And I wanted to call the series nothing very innovative. I couldn't think of anything very original. Then saying, I miss the Beis HaMikdash because three dots. And I'd be interested in hearing from all of you if you have some way to fill in the next part of the sentence. Because it's very difficult.
The leading question rather than should I or why should I. You're assuming that we do miss and we come up with a reason.
So Bruce, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly how we're going to start this morning. Before we go into why should I miss and how should I miss, let's ask ourselves a very simple question. I didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. I wasn't there. So do I have to miss it at all? Do I have to regulate my life in such a way that if I don't miss the Beis HaMikdash, if I don't cry for its not being in our midst, then something's wrong with me. Maybe nothing's wrong with me. I'm a fine, wonderful individual, and I'm normal. I never had a Beis HaMikdash. I don't miss it. I don't miss someone I never knew. So how can I miss a Beis HaMikdash? So let's take a step back and indeed ask that question. So if you have the source sheet that I sent to Bruce yesterday, you'll see that indeed we'll start with this very question. Do we have to miss the Beis HaMikdash at all? Do we have to yearn for it to be rebuilt? No one on this Zoom call will say if it's going to be rebuilt, we're going to be oblivious to it. We're going to be very happy to have a Beis HaMikdash. We'll be very happy to have the Korbanos. We'll be even happier to cancel fast days. Quite frankly, it's wonderful. But now, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, should I feel that it's my business? So let's see. If you look on the source sheet, you'll see right away.
Just a short comment. For someone who never knew their mother, because the mother died in childbirth, and you'd ask the kid, does he miss his mother? Of course not. But he might miss the idea of having a mother, since everyone has a mother, or just what he imagines a mother to be. He can't miss the woman he didn't know. But everything else about the idea, of course, one might miss. So I presume it's very similar with the Beta Method.
I think you hit the nail on the head. In other words, he misses having a family with a mother and a father, even though he doesn't know what he's missing. So, let's begin. Masechet Tainis, Daf Lamed Amud Bet. Does everyone here know what Masechet Tainis deals with? Take a wild guess. Masechet Ta'anit. What do you think it deals with?
The days we can't fast.
We can't fast. Interesting guess. That is indeed a very good guess when you talk about Megillat. Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit recorded all the days that the Jewish people shouldn't fast because great things happened in reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Either there was an expansion of some sort and whatnot, but that was Mevuto.
It deals with if you don't have rain, who should fast, when should you fast?
Exactly. Masechet Ta'anit doesn't deal with the fast days that we're used to every day, every year, the six fast days. Everybody knows the six fast days, correct? There's ways to remember them. We all have our ways. There's six fast days a year, so we always say there's a certain way to remember them. Woman, man, that's Gedalia and Esther, etc. That's not Masechet Ta'anit. Masechet Ta'anit deals, as Harold said, with the fast days that were ad hoc. There was a tragedy in the Jewish people, and the Jewish people wanted to repent and remove the tragedy because we believe in reward and punishment. That's the second bracha on Rosh Hashanah coming up, Zichronot, dealing with reward and punishment. And therefore, there were fast days that were declared when there was a drought and whatnot. Obviously, if a corona comes, there should be a fast day too. But the difference is that during Corona, it could be very dangerous to fast. So therefore, we don't have it right now. However, since we are already talking about fast days, what do you think happens towards the end of Masechet Ta'anit? And the Rambam in Hilchot Taaniyot does exactly the same thing. Four chapters about the ad hoc Taaniyot. And then at the tip end, he says, oh, there's days that we fast every year. Anybody who learns Gemara knows that happens. In Yiddish, there's something they used to say. It's called Amaret Shoin. If you're already talking about it, so here we go. It's like the old joke in Yiddish. Before I begin to speak, I'd like to say a few words. So Masechet Tanit, as we're going along, and as we are talking about fast days, at the tip end, deals with the four fast days that we have for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, this is what it says, and I quote, Simchu et Yerushalayim v'gilu ba'kol ohavea, sisu ota masos, kol hamitablim aleha. So you're supposed to be happy with Yerushalayim, and those that mourn for it will be happier. Says the Gemara, Mikan Amru, from here we deduce, Kol HaMitabel al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns for Jerusalem, namely, a rebuilt Jerusalem with a Beis HaMikdash, not just like we, Baruch Hashem, we're Zochet today, a rebuilt Jerusalem, but one with a Beis HaMikdash, Zochet v'ra'e b'simchata, he will be Zochet to see it in its happiness. So according to this Gemara, it's very simple. If you indeed mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, you'll be zoche to its happiness. Now, many Jews have mourned throughout the generations. They haven't seen Yerushalayim be rebuilt. We won't deal with that this morning. Suffice it to say, for our particular shir, that according to this Gemara, is it an obligation or a benefit? Obligation or benefit? Nice thing or mandatory? Arthur, you didn't compliment the fact that I'm using my vocabulary so nicely. Look at the way I use synonyms. That's one of the wonderful benefits of being in front of a computer. You right-click, you got synonyms. Anyway, Arthur, who changed his background... What do you say? Mandatory or nice idea? It's a nice idea to learn Pirkei Avot, not mandatory. What do you say?
The idea is to mourn, that's the question.
The Gemara that says, whoever mourns for Jerusalem will be zochet to see it in its happiness, in its glow, in its gleam, in its wonderful day. The Gemara is saying, it's a nice thing, good thing. So, very simple.
But we also have an obligation to build the Beit HaMikdash in our own generation.
Arthur is touching upon a huge machlokas between the Rishonim. Arthur is quoting the Rambam that says it's our job to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So according to Arthur and his Shabbos table, he won't use the Shlomo Karblach song Yibane 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 HaMikdash because... Excuse me, Arthur will do it, won't use it because he's supposed to build it. What are you thinking? Get up and build it. But the Rashi and other Mefarshim all say that the third Beis HaMikdash will come down from heaven rebuilt. The middle opinion is it will come down rebuilt, the shelet, as we say in Hebrew, the skeleton, and then we're going to do shiputzim. So I'm not dealing this morning with who rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash. Here we're talking about mourning the fact that right now, this morning, there's no Beis HaMikdash. According to the Gemara in Tainus, it's a nice idea. It's maybe in your benefit because you'll see it in its happiness, but not an obligation. Just like at night, it's a very nice idea to do what we call Lismoch Geula Litfila. In other words, it shouldn't be a hefsek between saying Ga'al Yisrael plus Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad or Friday night, Aporesh Sukkot Shalom Aleinu, and beginning the Amidah. Now everybody knows that there is a Kaddish in between the two. And in Chutz La'aretz you have an additional bracha, Baruch Hashem Lo'olam Amen V'Amen, that many say. And many Friday nights say V'Shamru, and on Yontif V'Yedaber, and not to mention Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur have its psukim. So we don't necessarily somech ge'ula litfila. However, the reason for it is that it's a nice idea. The Gemara says you're zochet to Olam Haba and many other things. But not an obligation. And therefore, if Chas V'Shalom Rachman Litzlan, Bruce comes late to davening, not because he was lazy, but because he's watching that very cute, is that a grandchild?
granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Oh, so he's watching his granddaughter. What's her name?
Kedem Ariel.
First name again?
Kedem.
Kedem. So he's watching little Kedem, and he said, and Kedem wants, as soon as he wants to leave the house, she wants apple juice, and he gets to shul late for Ma'ariv, and they're about to start the Amidah. The halacha is that Bruce goes ahead and starts the Amidah with them, and after davening makes up Birkos Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Shema. That's not something he can do in the morning, because in the morning, Smichas Ge'ula L'Tvila, it's an obligation. Gal Yisrael, Hashem Shvatai Tiftach. No Kaddish in between, no way. So if he comes to shul late in the morning because he's watching little Kedem, then he has to say all the Birkos Kriyat Shema with Kriyat Shema in order to get to the Amidah. So this Gemara is like Gaal Yisrael at Ma'ariv. Not an obligation, a nice idea, good idea, but not an obligation.
I would have thought it's an obligation based on the other halakhas we have, like leaving part of your house unfinished. There's many things we do.
We'll get to it.
Constantly remind us.
We'll get to it.
As if it's an obligation.
Are you looking at the source sheet, Bruce?
No.
So first of all, you should be. It's not total Torah Shabbat Peh. But because you're watching...
In English,
not in English. We're going to get to it today, Bezrat Hashem. If not, we'll get to it next week, the Zecher L'Chorban. This Gemara says, nice idea, you'll see it in its happiness, you don't want to, no problem. Next, the Gemara goes on. Another Gemara, and this is a Yerushalmi. I always say Yerushalmi is very much like Tisha B'Av, in the sense of... Barely anyone uses it, but once a year you make mention of it. And this is the Gemara that's made mention of once a year. Mesechet Yoma. So we talked about Tainis, now we're going to talk about Mesechet Yoma. Can anyone please tell me, what does the majority of Mesechet Yoma deal with?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, good guess, sir. But not what Bruce is going to do at home or in shul. Rather, what the Kohen Gadol is going to do in the Beis HaMikdash. And then once again, at the tip end, the last perek, all of a sudden we say, well, Yom Kippur has five things you're not allowed to do. We'll deal with them a little bit. And that's at the last tip end. So Masechet Yoma in the Yerushalmi is about to talk about the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And it starts with the following statement, not surprisingly. We're about to talk about something we don't have, and this is what the Gemara begins the Masechta with. Kol dor she'ino nivna biyamav ma'alin alav ki'ilu hu hechrivo. Does anyone want to translate? Any generation that the Beis HaMikdash was not built within that generation, translate ki'ilu hu hechrivo.
It's as if they destroyed it.
Who destroyed it?
That generation.
That's right. It doesn't say it's a nice thing. It's not nice to not have a Beis HaMikdash. Oy, oy, oy. But rather, if there's no Beis HaMikdash in 2020, then you, Irving, are at fault. So are you, Norman. I'm at fault. So is my wife and my kids. It's our business. It's not, if you mourn, it's a nice thing, you'll see it in its simcha. No, if there's no Beis HaMikdash this morning, it's my fault. Not their fault, my fault. That's the Yerushalmi beginning of Masechet Yoma, yes.
Okay, that's Jewish guilt for you.
Where do you think it came from? Everything has its source in the Gemara. Many things, not everything, but everything I say in Jewish lore and jokes, as a matter of fact, has its, I believe, has its source in the Gemara. Even being cynical has its source in the Gemara. In any case...
Today in the news, you know, Kamala Harris is the new VP for Joe Biden. It gives the background of her. Part of the background is she's married to a Jewish lawyer from Brooklyn.
So, we just said that according to the Yerushalmi, it's our business. And this will explain the following halacha. This is not just a fluffy shear. This is halacha. So, here's the situation. Someone passed away. Someone that I was very close to. We mourned for them. Then we eulogized them. The 30 days went. Even the year went. A year plus a day. Can you continue mourning for them? Look at the source sheet on the right side. A halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Ein mitkachin alamet yoter midai. You do not mourn for someone that departed too much. You mourn, but not too much. Vechol amitkashe alav yoter midai. Whoever mourns or over mourns, Al meit acher hu boche. God will unfortunately make you now cry for someone else that will pass away. Ela shlosha yamim lebechi, the first 3 days for crying. Shiva lehespet, 7 days for eulogies, and the Gemara goes on and on. Talmidei Chachamim are a little different. But the bottom line is, once the year is finished, all done. Okay? So you can't mourn for someone too much. You have to mourn, but you have to continue life. Gentlemen, what about the Beis HaMikdash? Can we, day after Tisha B'Av, say, I'm still sad from yesterday? Or, no, Asar, Tisha B'Av over, you can't mourn anymore. Take off your 3 weeks beard, do your laundry, start eating meat, and keep your mouth shut. What do you say, gentlemen? Now look at me and tell me. The day after Tisha B'Av, okay? Tisha B'Av, we're like mourners. We're sitting on the floor. We're almost like in a shiva. Gentlemen, a day later, what do? And don't tell me Yud Be'av until Chatzot, we still don't eat meat and drink wine. Okay, Yud after Chatzot, Chatzot in a minute. What do we say? All right, time for vacation. Beis HaMikdash thing's over. Time to be happy again. Pass me over the steak. I'm not going to listen to music. I'm going to be reunited with laundered clothing. Is that what happens? The Bruce just said earlier, that's not what happens. As a matter of fact, all year long, the Beis HaMikdash not being with us stares us right in the face. And therefore, and we're about to see how, the Ramban says as follows. The Ramban wrote many, many different books, but he wrote a beautiful, I would call it, pamphlet. It was called Torata Adam. It's a major book, but it's ultimately dealing with the laws of Avelus. And just like we said about Tainus, and we said about Yoma, the same thing. Torata Adam, the Torah of the individual, of the human being, starts with the laws of mourning for an individual, and at the tip end, he deals with what's called Avelut Yeshana, the old mourning. Can anyone tell me what the old mourning is versus the new mourning? Old mourning means classical Avelus that we do all every year. Every year there's 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av, unfortunately. So that's what he deals with at the tip end. And this is what he says about the day after Tisha B'Av. Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Havitzayim Tishiva Asiri. Rabbi Levi, Havitzayim Tishiva Asiri. In other words, the Gemara records that two great sages of the Gemara would fast both on the 9th of Av and on the 10th of Av. Why would they fast on the 10th of Av? We all know that the majority of the first Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 10th, not on the 9th. So it's also a sad day. Therefore, today we have a remnant by continuing the limitations of the 9 days into the 10th. So, the Ramban says, doesn't this go against what we said, that you cannot overmourn someone that departed? Says the Ramban Perush, Minhag Chasidut Ayalahem. First of all, it's not obligatory, it's their own chumrah. But V'chol ha-mosif li-hitaben al Yerushalayim zchutu lo. Whoever continues to mourn for Jerusalem, it's a schut. In other words, as opposed to personal mourning, when you're dealing with the national mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, over mourning is in. So we've established this morning that if you mourn properly, you'll see it in its simcha. Nice idea, but not obligatory. We saw B, that if it's not built in our generation, it's our fault. That's already more personal. And C, we just saw that if you over-mourn, namely, even though Tisha B'Av is over, this morning I came along and said, hi, gentlemen, I'm going to go back to Tisha B'Av. Instead of saying, Rabbi, Rabbi, let's talk about the Yom Tovim coming up. Let's talk about fun stuff. Maybe I'm doing a terrible issur. Says the Ramban, no, you can over-mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, as I said earlier, this is what we do all year. Where is it around our year that we talk about anything and we don't mention a Beis HaMikdash? Give you a simple example. Have you ever been to shul in the olden days before Corona? We used to go to shul. And in the olden days before Corona, there was a speech. rabbi, balabayit, whoever gives a speech in shul. The speech inevitably, not me, but inevitably most people, how do they end their speech? So Norman says correctly, what they do is they say, oh, and we should be zocher for the Beis HaMikdash, amen. Now why do they do that? Mimheira b'yameinu, thank you, that's a little more frum. So, Norman, why do they do that? Arthur, with due respect, they're talking about, I don't know, the Mabul. They're talking about the big flood of Noach, and they say, Shibana Beis HaMikdash. They talk about Avraham and the Akedah, Shibana Beis HaMikdash. They talk about the Shofar, Shibana Beis HaMikdash. The answer for me is rather simple. The reason they do that, first and foremost, is we all know what happens after the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. We'll have to Chiyas HaMeitim. We said it this morning in the second bracha of the Amidah. Ever see what happens in shul the minute the rabbi stops speaking? Everyone wakes up, Chiyas HaMeitim. So the rabbi wants to start Chiyas HaMeitim. He says, Shibana Beit HaMikdash. Everyone wakes up, good morning, most of time. So that's the reason number one. But reason number two is, the rabbis can't help themselves, and neither can Balabatim, because all year long, this is what we do. Let's see the first chapter of the Shulchan Aruch. This is like, you wake up in the morning, you didn't wash your hands yet, your eyes are still a little closed, you're very, very tired, you cursed the day that you bought an alarm clock. What are you supposed to think about at that very moment, when you wake up? So this is the first chapter of Shulchan Aruch, and he tells you what a Jew should do and think about when he wakes up. And he says, and I quote, word for word, Ra'ui l'chol yirei shemayim, she'yeh mitza'er v'doeg achuban Beit HaMikdash. Every God-fearing Jew should be worried and saddened on the fact that there's still no Beis HaMikdash. So you just woke up in the morning, Shulchan Aruch says, this should be on your mind. So overmorning is in, but more importantly, you understand why even when it's not connected to anything, what do? We mentioned Beis HaMikdash because it's always there. Number two, how did you end your Amidah this morning, last night? The last paragraph, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, no? Nothing that you said in Elokai Netzor has anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and yet we insert it. So, not only do you think about it three times a day, you mention it at the very tip end of the Amidah. Not to mention the fact that we have a bracha in there, HaMachazir Shechinato Letzion, not to mention Ve'li Yushalayim Ircha, in your benching you have it. It's always staring us in the face, and that's on a regular day. I'm not even talking about a Musaf on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, where it ultra stares you in the face to the second power. Yes, Bruce?
I'm just wondering, by having it to see notes, with the dichotomy of the Rashi Rambam view of where the Beit HaMikdash comes from, we're not putting it like on God. Because obviously you daven regularly from New York or anywhere else. You could say whatever you want, but you don't personally feel you have any obligation to be involved in this process. If you're in Israel, you get to vote. And I'm not sure if there's a mitzvah to vote for a party that says, we're the Beit HaMikdash party, and then we should all vote for that. And every other party says, we're not the Beit HaMikdash party. So would there be a mitzvah to vote for the Beit HaMikdash? But you can only do that if you're here and be involved. So obviously all the Jews, that the few who daven, and daven regularly, and not in Israel, obviously could really care less about their personal involvement. Maybe they're thinking God will do it, and they don't have to be too involved.
First of all, Bruce, I have to disagree with everything you said, respectfully. Number one, I don't agree, even for one iota, that Jews that are in Chutz La'aretz are not involved, and Jews that are in Israel are ultra involved. I've met many Jews in Chutz La'aretz that are ultra involved in Israel, and I've met many Jews that live here in my own community that can care less what happens in Israel. So I don't think it goes down the divide of Chutz La'aretz and Israel. Number two, we're not talking about should we build the Beis HaMikdash right now? Should we wait for it to be brought down from heaven with a fire? That's not our deal this morning. We're talking about at this moment, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, should we be thinking about it at all? Number three, there might be a party that talks about Beis HaMikdash, but Bruce, with due respect, there's many political parties out there, and you know as well as mine, as I know, that it's not exactly always a sure thing that politicians say A, and they do A. So therefore, to say you have to vote for their party, no. You don't have to vote for their party. There's no bitachon, no insurance that they're going to do what they said. They're politicians. Let's be honest with each other.
Well, it was a theoretical question that if we think it's coming down because God will send it, as Rashi said, then you could be anywhere and you could daven is very nice.
Okay.
And you could really, and you can really mean it.
Okay.
You can really mean it. And if you're living in Israel and you feel that you want the government to do it and you hope they do their best, give the benefit of the doubt to a party that says they want to do it, whatever that means, whatever that means.
Fine.
Obviously, it can't be done if we're not all involved in the process right here.
Okay.
Unless we think it will float down. So again, I respectfully disagree. I think if you're in New York and you say these words, you're not very serious about thinking that you personally have to be too involved, other than davening, because it'll float down.
I again disagree. I don't believe it comes down to the divide between Israel and Chutz La'aretz. It comes down to the divide between people. And one of the reasons that we're giving this shiur is to try to get people more and more involved in what we're missing. We've gained a lot. And I think the religious Zionist community loves to talk about the achievements, and it's important, and to thank God for it. And we gave a shiur on it just this year, the obligation to say thank you. And at the same time, we have to think about what we're missing and why life is not perfect as of yet. And that's what we're trying to do here. And I hope that Jews in Israel and in Chutz La'aretz will think about these things more, perhaps because of this shiur, perhaps of better shiurim. And I know many better people that give shiurim than me. So let's continue. So we spoke about the fact that it stares you in the face everywhere you go. At the end of the Amidah, the Shulchan Aruch says right in the morning, Musaf, Shachris, it's always there. Every single day, it's not limited to Tisha B'Av. Matzah is 7 days a year. Sukkah is 7 days a year. Lulav and Esrog today is 7 days a year. Not so with Beis HaMikdash, it's always there. Yes, in the 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av, it goes up. But then it never goes down. It's like it's on a low fire the entire year. And when you get to a Musaf, it goes up a little, and Yomim Tovim even more, because on Shabbos there was a Musaf, namely an additional Korban. We can bring it, so we say what we say. But we didn't have to bring it. It was a public Korban. On the Yomim Tovim, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, we had to go to the Yerushalayim. We had to bring three Korbanos every single Yontif. And therefore it's more personal, so we have a longer Bipnei Chataenu, Galinu, Me'artzenu, etc., etc. Longer Musaf regarding that. So it's there all year long. And if you finish davening, and you finish benching, and you're still thinking about it in the morning, Bruce mentioned there's one more thing that we do. And that is that any single time we do something, we do it incomplete. What do I mean? Bruce said it earlier, what we call Zecher Lechorban. I'm not talking about Zecher LaMikdash. That's a totally different story. We'll deal with that some other time. Zecher Lechorban means let's remember the destruction of the temple by diminishing a bit from what we do. Give me examples that you know of before we go into the source sheet itself.
On the menu at a wedding, to leave something off.
Menu at the wedding or even at the table, leave something off. What else?
Leave part of the house unfinished.
Part of the house unfinished. Yes, Norman.
No, I was going to say that.
At a wedding, we step on the glass.
You step on the glass, so you break a glass, to be more precise, to remember, according to the Ramah, what we said. Very good. So let's see. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. Tav Kuf Samech, 1560, that deals with what do we do all year to remember that we have no Beis HaMikdash. Number one, She'ein bonim lo'olam binyan misuyad u'mikuyar ki binyan melachim. So you said you build a home, you take an amma al amma, and you leave it unpainted. Number two, you mentioned leaving something out of the table. Number three, when a woman puts on tachshitei hakesef hazahav, she should leave something off, livriyut. Number four, ukeshachatan osei isha, lokeach afar mikle, venoten beroshol, Mimakom Hanachas Tfilin. So you think that, oh, only women take off their jewelry, Beis HaMikdash. The men also, they don't have jewelry, at least in the times of Chazal. They didn't wear even a wedding ring, as far as I know. So what do? They come all fancy to the wedding. I'm not talking about today. They come all fancy to the wedding, and they're wearing nice clothing. In the middle of the chuppah, comes along the rabbi, Now you imagine, I'm the chassan. Imagine I used to have hair here. Can everyone imagine hair? Right over here. So comes the rabbi, takes a little burnt ashes, and puts it exactly where you put on tefillin. Now you understand the implication here? Tefillin represents what? First of all, the Gemara says in Brachos, when you wear tefillin shel rosh, at this place, v'ra'u chola meha'aretz, all the nations of the world will see, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha, that the name of God is upon you, and they will take awe of you. This is like putting me up in the eyes of the nations of the world. On Tisha B'Av morning, we didn't put on tefillin, because tefillin is called pe'er. What's pe'er? Glory. Glory. And we take off the glory. So at a wedding, you're the chassan, you're on top of the world, you're getting married, all your single friends are jealous or happy for you. You're the center of attention. At that moment, the rabbi comes, puts ashes exactly on that place and says, not everything's so great. Not everything's so perfect yet.
Why didn't we wear tefillin on the 10th day of Av?
Why not?
If it's still burning?
We wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av too. We just don't wear it in the morning to show that, indeed, part of our pe'er was taken away. But in the afternoon, we do put it on to show that even though part was taken away, part is not taken away.
Okay.
Avel, by the way, wears tefillin after the day of burial too. So we can't be any worse off than an Avel. So when we build a house, we live a little out. From a meal, we live a little out. The chasan and the kala diminish from their clothing a bit when they get married. And the Shulchan Aruch goes on. He talks about breaking the glass. V'chein gazru shalom again b'kli shir v'chom minei zemer v'chom ashmiyei kol shel shir l'sameach b'hem. There was a gzera against having musical instruments. And the Ramah goes ahead and caveats v'yesh omrim dafka mishir agil b'hem kegon ha-melachim. We're talking about high class music, not music we see at a simcha. And it goes on to on and on, saying all the things that we do all year to ultimately remember that things are not perfect. Now, incidentally, I just want to say that even when there's a happy event, we diminish. So here, at a wedding, we break a glass, and even when there's a sad event, we diminish from the sadness. So what didn't we do on Tisha B'Av? Sad day, day of fasting. What is the one thing that wasn't in davening that should have been there?
Tachanun.
Why is there no Tachanun on Tisha B'Av?
Because it has an aspect of Yom Tov, because the rebuilding might be on that day.
Correct. It's called a Mo'ed. No more, no less. A Mo'ed. Mo'adim l'simcha. Because when there's a very, very happy event, we diminish. And when there's a very sad event, we diminish. And that balances out life for us. But that just shows you, if there's no Beis Hamikdash, you can't go about life normally. On the other hand, you can't stop living. And therefore, we're in a situation today in which we have to remember that indeed life is wonderful and not perfect. I say that during Corona, everybody knows that. But if we weren't during Corona, Bezrat Hashem will get through this pandemic and all alive and well. We'll know very well life is not perfect. If life was perfect, then all these things wouldn't be on the agenda. It would just be nice to have a Beis HaMikdash, nice to maybe have it in Yerushalayim, but doesn't concern me, I'm in my house, I'm okay. The Gemara says, and this was with Paskin LaHalacha, no. As long as there's no Beis HaMikdash, it affects you. Because it's your fault that there is no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore all these things are relevant in the way you build a home, in the way you eat a meal, not to mention in the way you dress. Yes, questions, Harold, go.
You don't say Tachanun, you said because of Moe, but also in a base level, you don't say Tachanun either.
For a different reason. The reason in the... No, the base level, the reason is not because it's a Moe, Chas V'Shalom, but rather
I'm saying Tishbav, you're like an Avelut. So you compare it to a base level where you don't say it also.
I would have thought so. And I would say the Midat HaDin, God's judgment, is really upon us. Don't mention your chataim, don't mention your sins. That's like you're at court on for one thing and you mention everything else you did wrong. But that's not the reason the Shulchan Aruch gives. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's because it's called a Moed. Very, very strange, but indeed, because Tisha B'Av will become a Moed, you understand it. So, indeed, the Beis Avel is a different reason than Tisha B'Av. Yes, Arthur?
I'm just wondering, the Sefer Mitzvot, I believe it's Positive Mitzvot number 20, says we should build a Beit Bechira.
The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, let's be very clear. Yes, that's the Rambam Shita.
Okay, so and there's about 202 mitzvot that are involved with the Beit HaMikdash and Karbanot, stuff like that.
Yes.
The fact that we built, now, like a lot of mitzvahs, the fact that we built it once, why do we have to build it again? Why should we need to build it again is really my question. Because Hashem, we built it, Hashem took it away. We built it, Hashem took it away. Gee, maybe there's a reason that Hashem took it away other than the fact that we sinned.
We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that on two levels. Number one, the fact that Hashem took it away, so what are the sins? How do we fix it? And number two, even before that question, maybe it's not because of sin. With due respect, well, what? Anytime something bad happens, it's because of sin. Sometimes things happen because it's an accident. An accident.
And maybe it's like get, just because it's a mitzvah to give a get doesn't mean you have to do it.
Interesting. I never heard that before. You're saying it's like get and shchita and tzitzis. Namely, if you do it, it's a mitzvah, but there's no obligation to do it.
And if we had an obligation, we've done our obligation.
If you find the source for that, I'd love to see it. As far as I know, those that say it's an obligation to build a Beis HaMikdash don't say it's an optional mitzvah. But if you find the source, that would be very, very interesting.
But we built it already, so therefore we fulfilled our obligation. It doesn't say rebuild.
We'll deal with that. When we rebuilt it for the second Beis HaMikdash and it didn't work, can we say, all right, we did our best? Or maybe we didn't do our best then. I'll just give you something to think about because it's 10 o'clock and Rabbi Zef wants to start exactly on time. Something to think about. Was the second Beis HaMikdash in all its glory like the first? Or not? Did we do our best? Did everyone make Aliyah? Or not? Anyway, these questions will be part of our agenda this year. And we'll be dealing with it. And your questions are going to be very important because they're going to form the curriculum. Or in another way, I haven't planned out anything because I'm a lazy bum. And therefore, your questions will decide the curriculum. Anyway, Rabbi Zef is on. Have a good, wonderful day and a good Shabbos. Take care, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Shira.